Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. That distinguished looking man over there, that's Terry Hendricks. Good morning. I'm John Featherston on this first Sunday morning of 2016. If you're still out there writing checks, which I don't think too many people are anymore, don't forget to write 2016 because it usually takes me until about April to figure that out. A lot to talk about in 2016. Barack Obama has made his way back from his Hawaii vacation, so he's going to get back to work tomorrow. Terry has a list of priorities that President Obama will want to get to, but one of the biggest issues that President Obama is going to get to is he's going to impose new gun control curbs this coming week. President Obama will address ahead of state executive actions on guns this coming week, despite growing concerns in U.S. over terrorism that have dampened some of America's enthusiasm for tighter firearms restrictions. So the thing that I want to talk about, and I certainly want you guys to join in the conversation, 508-871. That's 508-871. Let's talk guns in this hour of All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. 871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. 508-871-7000. We're talking guns. Terry, your thoughts on President Obama? I want to talk a little bit about his executive actions. I don't totally understand that. I am a lover of the Constitution, and I wonder how he can do things through executive actions, but let's talk about that.
Well, here's a president with 7 years of history, and allegedly he was a constitutional lawyer, so he should know the Constitution. But from everything I think we've seen, he doesn't know the difference between a roll of Charmin and the Constitution, to be honest about it. But if you want to talk about guns, you know, let's think about what the public thinks about it. So according to Quinnipiac, 89% do favor some checks for gun shows and things like that. And honestly, as a gun owner, I want everybody who has a gun, one, to know how to use it, and to keep it safe. So in one sense, I'm aligned with some people who are anti-gun, but I'm certainly not anti-gun because I own several, and I've owned a gun since I was 8 years old, and I was taught how to use it. And so I think everybody, actually, if this were Switzerland, every male in this country would know how to use a firearm because they would have been trained via the military and, in fact, have a firearm in their home, a military-issued firearm. So anyway, and if we look at the Washington Post and ABC, and they're not exactly the most conservative group in the country, and they did a poll about a month ago, a little over a month ago. 53% of America oppose an assault weapon ban. So that means 53% aren't for a ban against assault weapons. Now, the assault weapon definition, I think, spread a bit. You know, I think an assault weapon is an M16 on full automatic. But honestly, I think I have an assault weapon, in my house all locked up. It's called a Ruger Mini 14. It shoots the 223 round and shoots straight as you can imagine. It is a sweet little gun. And it's modeled off the M14 military rifle, only it's smaller and shoots the same round as an M16. Nice weapon. Good for hunting. Also good for target shooting, although, you need to do that in a very safe area. But another little thing, 47% of America think that more people ought to be able to carry guns as a way to basically protect ourselves. You know, if you think about all these mass shootings, they've all happened in no gun zones. What if we had some form of either armed guards or trained teachers who had access to firearms? Again, very limited access because you don't want your 12-year-old students getting a hold of a firearm. Although some of them would probably do just fine if they'd been trained properly.
Right. Well, you know, in Friday's radio address, President Obama said that he's moving unilaterally because Congress has failed to address the growing problem of gun violence. So he is throwing it back on Congress. Well, you know, executive producer Bob Hokanson of All Politics is Local and radio legend. I mean, what are your thoughts on President Obama's executive orders on your guns?
Well, I'm sure he's going to do something. The question is, will the new president a year from now undo all of this?
Well, that's an interesting point there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the big question is, depending on who you get in, will they have the gonads to do something about this? That's really open to question. And, you know, a lot of what the president is doing, you're talking about his executive orders and so on. I believe he thinks that if he gets these orders in, that they will become so ingrained that no one's going to undo them. And again, you really have to have somebody who's willing to stand up and say, I am going to unravel this mess he's made of our rights and Constitution. And that's part of the reason why this presidential election coming up is going to be so darned important.
Well, you got my blood boiling right now because, you know, 16, 18 months ago, we were promised if we voted in change and we got the Republicans the majority in the House and Senate, things would change. Well, the only thing that Paul Ryan seems to have grown, because he hasn't grown a set, but he grew a beard. But, you know, where is this pushback?
Oh, he grew a heck of a beard.
It is a good beard. I'm a little beard challenged myself, so I'm a little envious. But you know what? I don't want Paul Ryan growing a beard. I want Paul Ryan
growing a pair.
A pair.
That's right, yes. Forget about the beard. We want a pair.
How can we talk?
And not a fruit pear. We want a pear or something else.
But, you know, our Constitution is being trampled on. I mean, Terry made the analogy, you know, of Charmin toilet paper. I mean, come on, this is a serious issue. The Second Amendment is probably the most, you know, talked about amendment in the Constitution. And here we are, you know, President Obama is taking an executive order. Hey, I'm all for reasonable gun control, too. I totally support the Second Amendment. I do believe that, you know, your right to bear arms. Absolutely. Can there be a little bit more checks? I mean, I don't think you need an M16 to go deer hunting. That's just my personal opinion. But, I mean, I do respect gun rights. But for in the year 2016, well,
you know, let me hold you there.
Sure, go ahead.
The concept of the Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. It has to do with hunting politicians, not hunting deer or bear or rabbits or squirrels.
There you go.
It is allowing the people to defend themselves from the government, which is the whole idea of the Second Amendment, why it was put in there. And sorry, folks, that's what it is. That's why we are a free society, and the people who created this country were revolutionaries. They were revolutionaries. You've got to remember that.
Absolutely.
They had gone through a shooting war with the greatest military power in the world, Great Britain. And they wanted to make certain that the public had the opportunity to defend themselves against a tyrannical government because they'd been down that road.
Well, if you think about our history and how the Constitution came about and the concepts around it were really created in Western Europe predominantly, England and France, and basically Western Europe, but again, primarily England and France. And if you think about both of those countries had gone through basically tyrannical rules, certainly France had and England had, depending on who you talk to, some people love the monarchy in England, and I think that's probably still true today. Mm-hmm. Some love them and some don't. But and of course, the monarchy in both countries is gone. But that's the history of it. The history was from repressive governments who basically, you know, the leaders thought they were divine. They came from God, basically, and they had divine rule.
We're going to take a break, but you guys, when we come back, why don't I play the president's Saturday address? I do have it. It's all here.
All right.
It's queued up. And folks, you can hear exactly what the fearless leader, what the divine one, the man who is omnipotent, the man who is better than the rest of us because he knows what's best for us, is planning on doing to us, for us, in the next few days. So we're going to do that when we come back. And by the way, if you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you at 508-871-7000. We'll put you in touch with All Politics is Local because we're live and lively right here on News and Talk Radio WCRN.
The sound of screaming and the fires are high. valley tonight. There's a man in the shadows with a gun in his eye and a blade shining no so bright. There's evil in the air and there's thunder in the sky and a killer's on the bloodshot streets. On down in the tunnel with a deadly horizon, and I swear I saw a young boy down in the gutter. He was
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
It's Sunday morning, and we're talking politics here on All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. Keep in mind, on the weekends, we talk politics live and local here. You've got Conservatively Speaking with Mike Wade from 6 to 9 on Saturday mornings.
Hey, you were on the show yesterday.
It was an honor to be on.
It was an honor to have you, because we talk conservative politics straight up and right in your face Saturday mornings, and we need straight shooters like you, while we're talking guns here, to call in and help our listeners get a taste of maybe a little more decorum in speech pattern and so on than what Mike and I might come up with, et cetera. But we're here
every Sunday morning from 10 to noon. We're talking All Politics is Local in Massachusetts. Learn more about the program at allpoliticsislocalma.com. He's Terry Hendricks, Bob Hokanson. I'm John Featherston. And why don't we go to President Obama's address to the nation?
Happy New Year, everybody. I am fired up for the year that stretches out before us. And that's because of what we've accomplished together over the past 7 years. 7 years ago, our businesses were losing 800,000 jobs a month. They've now created jobs for 69 straight months, driving the unemployment rate from a high of 10% down to 5%. 7 years ago, too many Americans went without health insurance. We've now covered more than 17 million people, dropping the rate of the uninsured below 10% for the very first time. 7 years ago, we were addicted to foreign oil. Now our oil imports have plummeted. Our clean energy industry is booming, and America is a global leader in the fight against climate change. 7 years ago, there were only two states in America with marriage equality, and now there are 50. All of this progress is because of you, and we've got so much more to do. So my New Year's resolution is to move forward on our unfinished business as much as I can. And I'll be more frequently asking for your help. That's what this American project is all about. That's especially true for one piece of unfinished business, our epidemic of gun violence. Last month, we remembered the third anniversary of Newtown. This Friday, I'll be thinking about my friend Gabby Giffords, 5 years into her recovery from the shooting in Tucson. And all across America, survivors of gun violence and those who lost a child or a parent or a spouse to gun violence are forced to mark such awful anniversaries every single day. And yet Congress still hasn't done anything to prevent what happened to them from happening to other families. 3 years ago, a bipartisan common sense bill would have required background checks for virtually everyone who buys a gun. Keep in mind, this is a policy that is supported by some 90% of the American people. It was supported by a majority of NRA households. But the gun lobby mobilized against it, and the Senate blocked it. Since then, tens of thousands of our fellow Americans have been mowed down by gun violence. Tens of thousands. Each time we're told that common sense reforms like background checks might not have stopped the last massacre or the one before that, so we shouldn't do anything. We know we can't stop every act of violence, but what if we tried to stop even one? What if Congress did something? Anything to protect our kids from gun violence. A few months ago, I directed my team at the White House to look into any new actions I can take to help reduce gun violence. And on Monday, I'll meet with our Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, to discuss our options. Because I get too many letters from parents and teachers and kids to sit around and do nothing. I get letters from responsible gun owners who grieve with us every time these tragedies happen, who share my belief that the Second Amendment guarantees a right to bear arms, and who share my belief we can protect that right while keeping an irresponsible, dangerous few from inflicting harm on a massive scale. So I know there are a bunch of us who care about this. If you are one of them, I need your help. Change, as always, is going to take all of us. The gun lobby is loud and well-organized in its defense of effortlessly available guns for anyone. The rest of us are going to have to be just as passionate and well-organized in our defense of our kids. That's the work of citizenship, to stand up and fight for the change that we seek. I hope you'll join me in making America safer for all of our children. Thanks, everybody.
That's President Obama with his first weekly address to the nation in 2016. A lot there. A lot there. You know, it's funny with Obama. I think, you know, I don't like Obama. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I don't.
Well, he's an abomination.
I don't think he's been a good president. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's the evil Muslim that some people paint him out to be. But, you know, he's taking credit for job growth. Really? You change the math. Oil imports are down. Well, if we had the Keystone Pipeline, maybe we wouldn't need any foreign oil. And marriage equality? He didn't support that until it became a political thing. So, I mean, there's just a lot there this morning. He says it well. He says it well when he speaks. He's a great speaker. But, man, when you stop and you sit there and you're writing it down as he speaks, you go, what?
Well, remember, Joe Biden said that he was clean and articulate. So there you go.
Well, yeah, Joe Biden is an interesting man himself. Well, let's just talk about Barry Obama's last hometown of Chicago, where how many people have been murdered in Chicago this year already? Probably at least three or four, because they're pretty good for, you know, I think, one a day on average in Chicago. And guess what? I'll bet a lot of those people don't have a license to carry a firearm. So where did they get it?
No,
they probably stole it from somebody who did. Or they bought it from some other illegal source. So, you know, fine if we close that, you know, the gun show loophole, as they call it. You know, fine. But I guess we need to wait and see what this is. But is it like the camel's nose, where you can have more and more and more and more gun control?
Well, you know, guys,
ineffective.
They have been talking about and bringing it up. And this is more than just a trial balloon. I mean, they're starting to push toward it, i.e. the Democrats and those on the left, which is usually one of the same, by the way, to use what they call the Australian solution. And what the Australian solution is, what Australia did over the last 20 or so years in their quote-unquote gun control efforts, which was mandatory buyback of all sorts of firearms. They started with semi-automatic guns and pump guns, so... Yeah, folks, your old, Remington 870 pump shotgun, most popular shotgun in the world, by the way, is illegal in Australia. They confiscated all handguns, and now, believe it or not, they're going after lever-action rifles. They paid the individuals a set fee for these guns. The guns were destroyed, chopped up, and melted, etc. And there you have it. That was their solution. Of course, they don't have a Second Amendment. And that means that they're going to have to do something about the Second Amendment here in the U.S. And how are they going to do that? Is bring on another Supreme Court justice to replace a conservative one on the bench when, say, an Anton Scalia or someone else retires. And then that court will flip, because it's a one-vote majority in favor of the Second Amendment right now.
Well, if you look at the Supreme Court, you never know where some of these guys are going to vote, either way.
Well, you can be pretty certain, I think, if somebody like a Hillary Clinton, a Martin O'Malley, a Bernie Sanders, or what have you, becomes president, they're going to make sure the person they get on the court is going to pretty much vote the way that they want. At least that's been the story of what we've seen in Supreme Court justices. I can't think of a liberal, quote-unquote, justice coming on the court that has flipped to the conservative side. I can't think of
one. No, but no, you've had some of the conservatives
become
more liberal.
Sure. John Roberts?
Yeah, it goes the other way.
Yeah.
The man who was going to stop Obamacare and green-lighted it. You know who likes gun sellers like President Obama. President Obama might be the best gun seller in the history.
He's the best. I hope he has stock in the gun companies because it's gone up considerably.
If you invested in gun companies over the last few years, you have made out like a bandit. You really have. And you know, and going forward, looking at things like the defense industry and so on sector, that's going to be a growth industry. Of course, I can't go further into my prognostications on the markets, but for a number of reasons. But in any case, you're right. You're right.
Well, actually, if you've been a defense contractor under Obama, you've seen the Navy basically reduce the number of ships it has. And just to give you an idea, it takes like 20 years to get a weapons program
up and running.
From, you know, the twinkle in some engineer's eye to an actual weapon in hand or in the sea or on the land or in the air. Really, guys, you think we need a little government efficiency expert there?
But, you know, All Politics Local, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break because we're going to break for CBS News here in a minute, but you see the new law in Texas? You can carry openly.
Open carry.
So we'll pick that up on the other side. 508-871-7000. Join the gun conversation here on All Politics is Local on WCRN 830.
Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts. Little Twisted Sister, we're not going to take it anymore in honor of Donald Trump coming to Lowell tomorrow. We're talking a little bit about guns, and hey, there's a very good caller on the line, Don in Stoughton. Don, it's an honor to have you on All Politics is Local, one of WCRN's best callers.
Well, thank you, John, Terry, and Bob et al. For having me on board.
Well, it's an honor to have you. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, back at you there. Let's pray that 2016 is much better than 2015, and we get a better president, I hope. God.
Well, what do you think? What are the chances of that happening? Because, you know, the people at the top of the tickets, I don't know that either one of them. I could catch myself. I think either one of them would be a better president than we have, but not as good as the one that I think this country needs. So what are your thoughts?
Well, no, I know exactly what you're saying. I know a lot of people have concerns with Donald Trump and that, but if you're a billionaire, what you want to do is sustain your wealth. So a man who has been able to accumulate such riches would never do anything to a country that would take and endanger his future and the future of other people to become, you know, as wealthy as he. If Hillary Clinton is elected, though, I would imagine there would be an en masse resignation from the military because nobody would trust her. I mean, everybody has forgotten that Bill Clinton back in 1969 enlisted in the Army Reserves and then deserted. It's called desertion. You only get a dishonorable discharge. You cannot hold any public office. So if she's married to a deserter, how can she ever be commander-in-chief and have to deal with other desertions?
Well, actually, I think he'd committed to go to ROTC at University of Arkansas.
Oh, no. I have the actual paperwork from the draft board in Arkansas gotten through the Selective Service. No.
Okay.
He enlisted. He was 1D, just like I was in the Army. And they told me, if you don't come back, you'll be charged with desertion. You're an Army reservist now.
How do you get out of that?
I do not know. They chose not to prosecute. I have the paperwork. I have sheet 8 from Hot Springs, Arkansas. I have the actual sheet of Bill Clinton's, or a copy of it, that Bill Clinton, all his documentation. And he was not eligible for the draft lottery because the draft lottery prohibited draft delinquents and deserters from partaking. So,
how'd you get that document, Don?
I did a FOIA request to the Pentagon, to the Selective Service System, and they sent me a copy back in 2001.
So just through a public records request, you got that
document?
Yes,
it is, yeah.
Well, how come that's not all over the news, then?
Well, I don't know. If you punch in his selective service number, 3264628, you'll get some websites that carry the information that basically came off the selective service record. But remember, the government, John and Terry and Bob, the government does not have to prosecute anyone they choose not to prosecute. You know, like the guy in Boston that gave the gun to the Tsarnaevs.
Right.
He committed like 20 years worth of crimes, and he did, what, 15? 15 months?
Yeah. Time served.
Hey, so, I mean, you know, it's a complete joke. And we were talking, Barack Obama's talking about gun violence. Was there a problem with gun violence in 2009? How about 2010? How about 2011? How about 2012 or 2013 or 2014? He made no effort back then, guys.
No.
Well, I think Obama's main war has been on Republicans.
Absolutely, yeah. If gun violence was a problem last year, then it must have been in 2009, or maybe there wasn't any gun violence, and was it because that Barack Obama was elected, gun violence then cropped up because of him?
Well, what did he do when he was a senator in the state of Illinois and has one of the basically highest murder rates in the country in Chicago?
He voted present.
Or not
he
present.
He voted present. And you know, the funny part about this, guys, is everybody in Chicago says, well, you can go to those easy-to-buy gun states, buy guns there, and then come to Chicago and create all the crime. And then it leads me to ask the question, well, then I guess the gun crime rate in those easy-to-get gun states must even be worse. And they look at you, and they realize they don't have an answer, because the people in the easy-to-get gun states are armed, and criminals ain't that stupid. It's like trying to commit a crime in Kennesaw, Georgia, where by law everybody is mandated to own a gun. I think there's also another town in Utah. But if you check out the crime records for, you know, Kennesaw, Georgia, it's like, you know, so-and-so spit on the sidewalk, somebody double-parked, somebody peed in the park. But there's no gun violence crimes in Kennesaw for some reason.
You know what's interesting, Don, and we should refer to you as the Don. I know Donald Trump likes that, but you could be the Don.
The Don.
Comes,
I like it. The Massachusetts
the,
Don.
The Don from Stoughton. There was a piece I was reading this morning, and I don't remember where, but it was one of the newspapers I go to. They were talking about Israel and how they are now loosening gun control.
Yes, they are.
For their citizens, in order for the citizens to protect themselves. And it was pointed out, I think Tel Aviv is a hotbed of people actually having guns to defend themselves. It was another community where two people were killed, two others wounded by a shooter who did the shooting, and there was no one there with a firearm to return fire. And it was spoken of in the Israeli press as, gee, too bad, we've got to loosen these regulations even more to make sure that we have individuals there who can defend us and defend everyone else. Because remember, these individuals are the ones who are really the first line defender. And when you call the police because of a shooting incident, what you're really doing is you're calling for a gun.
Yes. No, absolutely, Bob. I mean, they were talking about San Bernardino today on the local Fox station, and I listened very carefully, and I do that. And they mentioned that the shooters were a husband and wife. And that's all they mentioned about the shooters. None of the Allahu Akbar, none of the Muslim Jihad, not the fact that they were Muslims or anything like that.
Or terrorists.
It was just a husband and wife team.
Right. And prior to that, you know, the left was pushing toward another, quote, workplace violence situation.
Yes, exactly.
Because the guy had apparently worked with these other individuals and knew them. And this holiday party, not to be confused with a Christmas party, I guess, because that would be politically incorrect, and incite people from the religion of peace to take action. Well, never mind.
Hey, Don, is this about gun safety, or is this about Obama coming for your gun and your safe?
Well, it's more about Obama taking more power. If it were about gun safety, there would be something mentioned in the Constitution. And Bob was correct when he mentioned the Second Amendment. It has nothing to do with hunting or target shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the basic premise that you have the right to defend your life and liberty. Now, let me give you a quick instance here. Back in 1855, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the decision South versus Maryland, volume 59, page 396, and this is only a seven-page ruling, seven pages. You can read it during a break. But in that ruling, it said that Mr. Pottle of Boston, a banker who went to Washington County, Maryland, to take over a bankrupt property, was surrounded by a bunch of unpaid workers. He was kidnapped and extorted of $2,500 while in the presence of law enforcement's Sheriff South and his deputies. Sheriff South and his deputies did not protect Mr. Pottle at all. There was no public safety for Mr. Pottle. After 3 days, the bank came up with the money. The money was given to the workers. Mr. Pottle was released. He sued Sheriff South, and in the Maryland courts he won, but the U.S. Supreme Court got it and said that Mr. Pottle, as a victim of a crime in the presence of law enforcement, has no standing to sue because the Constitution does not require the protection of any citizen by any public servant. Have a nice day, Mr. Pottle.
And that means, of course, Don, as you're indicating here, that it's not the role of the police or government agents to protect anyone. They're there to merely enforce the law after the fact.
That is correct. There is no liability or any sort of indemnity upon the police or fire department or anybody to show up to do anything.
So, boys and girls, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
Well,
and this is settled law since 1855. It has never been overturned. There was an incident down in Washington, D.C. a number of years ago. Three women were violently raped. They called the police a number of times. The police showed up, knocked on the door, and went away. When they sued the police, the court down in Washington, D.C. said that the police have no obligation to protect you, no matter how many times they show up.
Hey, Don, it's been an honor to have you here on All Politics
Is
Local.
Well, thank you, guys. I hope I illuminated and made people smile or chagrin or whatever.
No, we're going to go to a quick break. Before we go to that break, Don left us. I was going to ask him who was going to be the president. Who's the presidential candidate who's going to make us the most safe in 2016 and then going forward, do you think?
I'll go with Trump, just to be controversial.
Oh, okay. I mean, do you think he will make us more safe, or do you...
I believe so. I
mean, or more vulnerable because, you know, now he's in a Muslim video.
He takes a realistic view. When you run a business and you earn money, you have to do it based upon facts and reality.
You just
can't wing it out your butt like a Hillary or a Bernie Sanders or one of the rest.
I think we should check to see if the Clinton campaign might have sent that to the jihadist and wherever they're...
There's got to be a FedEx tracking number on that one. Yeah.
What difference does it matter now?
Makes no difference.
Don, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us.
Later.
Hey, you're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830. Well, we'll be back after the break.
Let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the sun to promised lands to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Well, we've gone a little bit of country here this morning on All Politics is Local on WCRN 830.
It all depends on what country we're talking about. That's a little flat and Scruggs. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
This country.
Can I say yeehaw?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Bob Hokanson, Terry Hendricks, John Featherston talking All Politics is Local on the first Sunday morning of 2016. A lot to get to. We've had a great show this morning. Worcester County Sheriff Lou Angelitis joined us. We've been talking guns for like the last half hour. Terry, you've got a list of President Obama's other agenda items for the year 2016. I thought one of the interesting was that he wants to ensure that a Democrat is elected. I feel still find it funny and interesting, and if you listen to some conspiracy theorists, you know, all it takes is for one phone call for President Obama to indict Hillary Clinton for her email mess. And I don't think there's any love lost between the two of them. I don't think Clinton likes Obama, and I don't think Obama likes Clinton. There is a theory that's growing in momentum, is that Obama will flip a switch and create a terrorist type of environment in the upcoming election, and there might not be an election because martial law will have to be instituted. I find it all kind of comical and laughable, but scary all at the same time. Do you truly believe that Obama wants to get a Democrat elected, or do you think he wants to continue continue his presidency? Because he certainly doesn't want to get a Republican elected.
Well, I think, no, he does not. If there's any war going on, it's on Republicans from Obama's point of view. There's no love for Hillary, but I think he'd rather have Hillary than Donald Trump. But actually, he'd probably rather have Bernie Sanders than Hillary.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because if a Republican had the email mess that Hillary has, would there be any doubt that that Republican would be indicted by the FBI?
Oh, no doubt. But you know what? Let's go back a long time. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton have had time after time after time after time of all kinds of things. You know, Bill's, you know, using the Arkansas State Police as his pimps. What was it, the law firm there in Little Rock that was corrupt, and Hillary is part of that. And I'm broke, but all of a sudden they're worth several $100 million.
Broke when you left the White House? Sure you were.
Well, actually, when they left the White House, they basically looted the place. And
took all the silverware in China and everything.
Literally, yeah. And there were like $200,000 worth of stuff that had to be retrieved from them that was basically public property. So, you know, not only are they liars, in fact, 60% of America believes that Hillary Clinton is a liar. I think the other 40% know it. But anyway.
I thought Don and Stoughton brought up a fascinating point.
I wonder if he has Bill's Social Security number and other, you know, other information.
I think we got to do a little bit of research on that and report back next week, because I think that's an interesting topic to, you know, investigate at least. But, you know, 60% of the, you know, voting public thinks Hillary Clinton's a liar, but she's still the front runner to be president. What's going on here?
Well, not only that, but people loved her enough last quarter. They gave her $37 million to her campaign.
$37 million in the quarter for her to be elected president.
Yeah. You know, Bernie picked up $33 million.
Right. He wasn't too far behind, and his were all small donations. I think the average donor to the Sanders campaign was, I don't want to misspeak the number, but it was like in the $20 range.
Yeah, very small, and who knows what Hillary's are and where the money's coming from. And then
probably Martin, a lot of Max donors.
Yeah, and then O'Malley, I think, had 27 cents, you know, where he cashed in some Coke and beer bottles.
Hey, did you see that breaking news? Ben Carson, press secretary, team left him. His campaign staff kind of said, okay, you're not the guy we thought you were, and we're out of here this week?
Yeah, Barry Bennett left, who was his campaign manager. And Doug Watt, who was his communications director. Also, Lisa Cohen, who was his deputy campaign manager, left a couple of weeks ago. I guess part of the problem, he has a...
They're spending more time with their families. You know.
Well, they are, yes. That's what they're doing. Or working for a different candidate. I guess part of the problem is his business manager, who's been his business manager for some time, Armstrong Williams, has a lot of say in what goes on. And so it's, you know, am I running this campaign or is this guy kind of an argument? And but he has a new guy. He's a retired Major General Robert Dees, who has about as much political experience as my 8-year-old granddaughter. a good man, I think, from what I've read, but certainly doesn't know the ins and outs of running certainly a national campaign.
Well, the sad thing is I think Ben Carson's a great man, too. I think he's a good, well-intentioned, very intelligent guy. Yeah. I just don't think he's ready for prime time. Jeb Bush is, seems to be retreating and putting himself all in back in Florida, kind of taking himself out of New Hampshire and Iowa and trying to put all cards in on Florida. But I don't even think he's going to win Florida. I think Rubio will probably win Florida.
Very possible. If you look at the, you know, the up-and-comers, it's Cruz and Rubio. Right now, you know, I think Cruz will probably win Iowa on the Republican side.
But is it really Cruz and Rubio? Or is that just wishful thinking? Because, you know, once again, I think Marco Rubio is a smart, brilliant guy. Have you seen his ads? Wake me up when they're over. I mean, I want to like him. I want to see him get some momentum, but it doesn't feel like he's creating all that much momentum. Cruz is the smartest guy in the campaign. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that.
He has an eidetic memory, by the way.
Yeah, that's pretty, pretty interesting.
He doesn't need a podium to do his speeches or a lectern.
Real quick, because we never have enough time here on All Politics is Local, but we've got a call. Pat from Worcester. How you doing, Pat?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, great. Thanks for joining us here on All Politics is Local. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. I've been listening to the show all day, pretty much. And there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about, but I know you don't have much time. So I just want to bring up Rand Paul, because I honestly believe that if Rand Paul got more TV time, more media time, he would have a much bigger following. If you look at his policies, in my opinion, he's got the best policies. He's the most conservative when it comes to fiscal conservatives, that's for sure. I like his ideas, how to deal with ISIS. I mean, he's the only senator really 3 years ago to say, don't send weapons and don't send money over there. And everyone ignored him and they did it. And that's how ISIS was formed. And I know you guys are talking about Rubio and Cruz right now. Rubio is, in my opinion, he's just terrible. I mean, he has the lowest rating for going to vote in the Senate. He hasn't been doing his job.
Right.
And I just want to know what you guys think about Rand Paul and if you think there's any truth to that, to where if he did get actually more TV time, I think he'd have a bigger following.
You know, I like Rand Paul, and I kind of liked his father a little bit too, but some of the stuff kind of scares me with him. He doesn't come across as likable like when I see him on, national media. I think that's probably one of the reasons why he's not resonating. I mean, Terry, did you have any thought on that?
Well, I don't think Rand Paul has any traction at all, and part of it is because I don't think he has a broad appeal. I know a lot of people who like him, but not enough.
I mean, why do you think he's not getting the media attention, Pat?
Well, I mean, it's you see him rising up in the polls lately. I mean, trust me, I know he's not going to win. I mean, I'm happy that he's sticking with it. I think he can keep going out there and getting his message across. But I'll see them talk about Christie going up in the polls. Rubio, they'll talk about Jeb Bush. And then you'll actually look at the numbers and you'll see that Rand Paul is actually rising and he's ahead of Bush in most states. And they'll show poll numbers and they'll show Jeb's poll number and then they won't even have Rand Paul on the screen.
Well, I know he's spending a lot of money in Iowa.
All right, we got to go here.
All right, hey, Pat, thanks for joining us.
Hey, real quickly, folks, happy birthday to Mel Gibson, who's 60, Eli Manning, 35, Apple Computer Corporation, founded in 1977, and in 1938, FDR founded the March of Dimes, and those jokesters, the British, hanged William Joyce, a pro-Nazi radio propagandist who was known as Lord Ha-Ha, so they hanged him. So much for political speech in England.
Hey, we'll be back next Sunday, 10 to noon. Don't forget, conservatively speaking, 6 to 9 next Saturday. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN. Holding on for a heel till the end of the night. He's got